Before I start this morning, I'm going to hand out a sheet, and on this sheet are some verses from the Bible that, just to show I'm not making it up what I'm saying today, if you go, Chris Pastors, just take one and pass one on. Don't feel obliged. If you don't want one, just pass them on. But I just put down here the verses in the Bible that we're going to be looking at this morning, as a little bit of a takeaway, as it were. Did you know that this morning that there are 117 days to go? 117 days left. 117 days to what? What's going to happen in 117 days' time? It's Christmas. It's Christmas Day, of course. I have a reputation for getting a bit excited about Christmas. Please forgive me. Please forgive me this morning. I know in the blazing heat of summer, your thoughts are probably not towards Christmas. But my reputation for being excited about Christmas may have come from the fact I've been caught singing carols on the beach in the summer, or because I'm maybe planning Christmas 2010 already. Did you know Christmas Day 2010 is on a Saturday? That might be useful if you're doing your planning, just to know that. Last year, Michelle, who we all know and love in the church, she invited us round for a surprise meal about mid-November. We arrived there and she presented us with Santa hats and gave us a full turkey Christmas dinner. It was a warm autumn November day. But nevertheless, we tucked in and enjoyed our Christmas dinner in mid-November. It was lovely. She knows my passion for Christmas. Maybe the reason I like Christmas so much is as I grew up, we had some good family times at Christmas. I know Christmas can be a difficult time, can be a fun time, but as a child, my family gathered at Christmas time from across the country. We got together at Christmas and we had some traditions. Most families have traditions, things you do particularly to do at Christmas time. We had at Christmas lunch, we had Christmas crackers. Now that's, most people have Christmas crackers at Christmas lunch. But one year, the crackers contained something special. We all sat round, pulled our crackers, and inside was some indoor fireworks. That was a Christmas to remember, setting the Christmas table on fire with our fireworks. But one year, in my cracker, I got a hat. I got the joke. You know, you get the joke on a bit of paper. And I got a little novelty gift. And this gift was a little fish in a packet. It was called a mood fish. And the idea was you place this fish, this plastic fish, on the palm of your hand. And the warmth of your hand caused the fish to change shape. On the packet, it told you what sort of person you are. It gave you kind of a little, it was only a fun thing. It was only a toy thing. But it kind of told you a bit about yourself. So, for example, maybe its head would curl up. Or the tail would twist, or the sides would kind of move round. And the fish would therefore tell you if you were happy or sad or irritable. It kind of was a way of, it was just a bit of fun, really. Anyway, I put the fish on my hand, and the head curled and the tail curled, and I looked on a bit of paper, and it says, therefore, if your head and the tail curls, you are fickle. And I was... I didn't know what the word fickle meant. I was only about 10. What does fickle mean? I knew it was only a bit of fun, but I thought, I'm going to find out. So I went and looked it up. And of course, the word fickle, it didn't sound very good. I didn't know what it meant, but I thought, don't think fickle sounds good. Looked it up, and fickle means someone who's not dependable. Someone who's changeable. Someone who can let you down. Someone who is flaky. I suppose a modern word for fickle would be flaky. Someone said they're fickle, they're flaky. I realise it was only a joke. But I want to talk this morning about an attribute of God, about the very opposite of fickle, about something about the nature of God where he has told us, he has revealed himself as being the exact opposite of flaky. I want to talk this morning about who God is. It says, the Bible says the person and nature of God, that he describes himself as the faithful God. In the Bible, we read that God is the exact opposite of fickle. If fickle is someone who's flaky and changeable, God is the exact opposite. God is the faithful God. the dependable God, the God we can give ourselves to. We can rely on him. He won't let us down. He won't turn flaky. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, you've got it there in front of you, where the Apostle Paul says, God is faithful. It describes who he is, that the God who has revealed himself as the one who's made us, the one who's loved us, is faithful. He can be depended on. He's not going to one day have a bad mood. He's not going to one day let you down. He's not going to be consistent and there for you day by day and then suddenly change, suddenly pull the carpet from under your feet and suddenly not be there. God is faithful. I want us this morning to realize afresh that we worship the God who is dependable, the God who is faithful, the God who loves us and is going to continue loving us. There's not going to be a time where God's going to say, I'm sorry, but that's it. I've had enough. Because God is a faithful God. Let's pray together this morning. Ask that God would help us. Father, thank you so much that you've revealed yourself as the God who is dependable. The God who is always consistently loving us, reaching out to us, forgiving us, and working in our lives. God, would you today open the eyes of our heart to see afresh? Would you help us to realize, to understand, to enjoy your faithfulness in a new way and a fresh way and a wonderful way? Amen. Our starting point this morning is to realize that God has revealed himself as this faithful God. The Bible verse you've got there on your sheet in Deuteronomy says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. So the God has revealed himself as the God, and what characterizes him, what's deeply in his personality, what is in the makeup of God himself, God has revealed himself. He defines faithfulness. He is faithfulness from beginning to end. Like a piece of rock you get at the seaside, you cut it and it says Brighton all the way through. All the way through God is faithfulness. From beginning to end, God's dealing with us is God is the God who will never fail us. Perhaps the most amazing demonstration of the faithfulness of God is the dealing of his people in the Old Testament in the desert. There we see the people of God wandering around and they messed up. They disappointed God. They wandered away from God. They let God down. They were not faithful to God. They even rejected God. But God was faithful to them. Their shoes didn't work out. None of them were sick. They were fed every day. God led them by his presence. God provided for them again and again. And God got them to where he said he would in the end. We see an amazing account of the faithfulness of God. My grandfather was a church minister in Barnsley, which is up in Yorkshire. In the church, a chapel which still stands today, there's a big brass plaque on the wall, and it's to the memory of a missionary called Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor, missionary in the 1800s, he went out to China, and God used him incredibly, amazing way in China. And he went from that church in the 1800s. And this is one of the things that Hudson Taylor said. He said, our God is a very experienced one. He knows well that his children wake up with a very good appetite every morning. If God sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years, which is what he did, we don't expect that God will send 3 million missionaries to China. But if God did, God will have the means to sustain them. You see, such was his confidence in God. As he looked through the Bible, he saw God sustain these 3 million people in the desert for 40 years in an amazing way. If God did that, God can do it today. If God was faithful in the past, God would be faithful today. Because God doesn't change. God's not different. God's not different then than he is now. God's the same. God's done it before. God will do it again. We're going to look at the faithfulness of God today in the book of 1 Samuel. In the piece of paper that I gave you, there we've got a passage, it's from the Message translation, and it was a passage how God showed himself faithful to his people. This is the this is the passage, 1 Samuel 7, verse 7. It says, when the Philistines, those are the enemies of people of God, when the Philistines heard that Israel was meeting at Mizpah, the Philistine leaders went on the offensive. Israel got the report, became frightened. The Philistines were on the move again. They pleaded with Samuel, pray with all your might, don't let up. Pray to God, our God, that he will save us from the boot of the Philistines. Samuel took a young lamb, not yet weaned, offered it as a whole burnt offering to God. He prayed fervently to God. He interceded for Israel, and God answered. While Samuel was offering the sacrifice, the Philistines came within range to fight Israel. Just then God thundered. A huge thunderclap exploded among the Philistines. They panicked. It was mass confusion. They ran helter-skelter from Israel. Israel poured out of Mizpah, gave chase, killing Philistines right and left to the point just beyond Beth-Kar. Verse 12. Samuel took a single rock and set it upright between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, the rock of help, saying, this marks the place where God has helped us. You see, the situation was difficult. Samuel prayed. God answered powerfully and immediately. God demonstrated that he was a faithful God who responded to his people's needs. In this passage, we meet this old-fashioned word, Ebenezer. I love the word Ebenezer. I don't know why. I always have liked this word, Ebenezer. Maybe it's because it's Christmas. I know. Of course, if you like Christmas Carol, if you like old Charles Dickens' Christmas Tale of Christmas Carol. Of course, the main character in Christmas Carol is this Ebenezer Scrooge. That may be where we've heard the word Ebenezer before. And of course, he's named after Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer's named after this rock. And the rock literally means, what does Ebenezer mean? Ebenezer means a stone of help, a memorial stone. It was a stone, it was a huge stone that he set up to remind them that God had been faithful. This stone called Ebenezer was something, a testimony, a reminder, something that spoke to them over the coming months and years that God had been faithful to them. It was a memorial to the faithfulness of God. I don't know how many times maybe a parent walked by this Ebenezer, this stone, years later with a son and daughter. A child points this big stone set up and says, what's that, Dad? What's that, Mum? Because it was both a reminder to the Israelites and also an opportunity to teach their children that God was a God of love, that God was a faithful God. God wants us to remember his faithfulness. When we pray and God answers our prayers, then it's easy just to forget about those answers to prayer, move on to the next thing. And Samuel wanted the people of God to remember that he, God, was a faithful God, that they prayed and God had answered. And so they set up this Ebenezer, this stone of help. I want to ask you this morning, what are the stones of help in your life? What are your Ebenezers? What are the times in the past where you've prayed? You've been desperate. You've prayed and God has helped you. What are the times where you've prayed and God has moved? What are the times where you've prayed and God has answered? Because those times are these Ebenezers. Those times are these times of memorial, the times of remembering what God has done in the past. I read a story of a Christian who got his Bible and went through the Bible and underlined the promises of God. He went through, saw where there was a promise of God in the Bible, saw it, underlined it. And then in his life, as he was praying these scriptures, as he was praying these promises of God, as God answered his prayers in specific situations in his life, he wrote the word proved by each one. So his Bible just filled up with proved. See, those were his Ebenezers. Those were his testimonies of where God had demonstrated his faithfulness. See, our Christian faith, it's an experience. It's an experiential thing. God wants to demonstrate his faithfulness. Faithfulness isn't a theory. It isn't kind of something up there. It isn't kind of something we just learn about. God wants to demonstrate in my life and your life that he is a faithful God. God wants us to prove, to see his goodness. Perhaps the times in my life, times in your life, where we've prayed, God's answered, but we've just forgotten about them. I believe it's important to remember and think about the times where God's been faithful in the past. Where we've been in a difficult situation, we've prayed, God's answered, and we've seen. I'm not talking about being sentimental. I'm not talking about living in the past. It's very important to live in the present, live in today. Jesus told us to live each day. But I think it's important to remember the faithfulness of God, what God's done in the past. To reflect on our Ebenezer. I think it's also important to teach our children, where in the past God's done things in our life, to tell our children about what God's done in our lives too. Back to the story of Samuel. The result of Samuel's prayer was God helping his people in powerful ways. In 1 Samuel 7:13, it says, "So the Philistines were subdued. They didn't invade the Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines." So the result of God answering Samuel's prayers lasted for years. One prayer was so powerful. Samuel got on his knees, he prayed, and the fruit of that lasted for years. I believe one of the reasons it was so powerful is because they had this stone to remind them of the faithfulness of God. That God had overcome the enemy, so their faith was stirred. Every time they looked at the stone, they remembered God has delivered us in the past. It stirred their faith, and it gave them faith for today. I believe that's why it's important to reflect in our lives on what God has done in the past. Where you've had a difficult circumstance, a difficult situation, and God has answered, to reflect on that, to give thanks to God for that, to give praise to God for that, to think about it, to thank God, to reflect on it, that it can be our Ebenezer. The result of Samuel's prayers lasted for years. And in the book of Revelation, we see in Revelation 12:11, it talks there about the saints as they overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, our testimony, remembering what God has done, is powerful in overcoming the enemy. Samuel wanted to set up this stones of help so that everyone would remember what God had done in the past. It stirred their faith. God's done this in the past. It stirred their faith for today. You know, we too are encouraged. I'm encouraged. You're encouraged. The struggles we face today, the new struggles, the fresh struggles, the struggles you're going to face on Monday, it's encouraging to look back in my life, to thank God for how he has got me to this point, how God has delivered me, what things God has done, because it stirs my faith to start tomorrow and the things that I face tomorrow. The Hudson Taylor, this missionary to China that I talked about a moment ago, he really understood this. In his house, he had a plaque put up in his house to remind him, remind his family, remind everyone. On this plaque, it just said two things. It said Ebenezer. The first thing it said was Ebenezer, because he wanted to remind himself and his family to remember about God has been faithful. God's got us this far. But then it also, next to it, it said Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. So it's Ebenezer, God's got us this far. By his grace, all he's done. But Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. God will in the future make a way. He had that on his wall. I think it's important to remember what God's done so far. But as well as looking back at the time God's helps, I'm looking forward to my new Ebenezers, my next Ebenezers. See, Ebenezer was gained by prayer and prayer alone. The victory of God's people that warranted the stone of help was a victory on his knees. Samuel on his knees. They prayed, not just Samuel, but the people prayed. God moved, and then the people of God arose to keep up with what God was doing. We need, you and I need, a new Ebenezer. In our lives, it's no good just looking back to the past when God's done something. But this week, I want to see God move in my life this week. We're not just Christians that live in the past. God did an amazing thing in 1929. It's fantastic and encouraging to see what God's done in the past. But this week, I need a new Ebenezer. I need to set up a new stone of help. I need God to move in my life, me to see God move, and then to remember that, to have that testimony of God's moving freshly. When I became a Christian, I was age 19 when I became a Christian. And when I was a new Christian, about 6 months a Christian, I went to a Baptist church. And during the service, I sat next to an older man, a guy that was considerably older than myself. Now, at the end of the service, the vicar, whatever, said, turn to the person next to you, you know, introduce yourself, whatever. And so I said, and I was really enthusiastic. I said, I've been a Christian 6 months. And I was, you know, full of enthusiasm and excitement. And this guy, who was considerably older than me, he turned to me. His eyes were full of the love of Jesus. His eyes were full of the power of a life lived for God. And he said, I've been a Christian for 50 years. And just, I mean, I can remember it now. It's years and years ago. But that incredible testimony, his life was full of Ebenezers. He had proved God. He had walked with God. He'd been through all kinds of things. And his life was crammed full of this testimony that God is faithful. And God had brought him through 5 decades. Amazing, isn't it? It's so impacting my life that someone could walk with God, know God, get close to God, be changed by God over half a century. Incredible, isn't it? Amazing. Amazing thing. Now, I've walked with God not 50 years, but I've walked with God now 30 years. In fact, next month, October 1979, I became a Christian. So it'll be my anniversary. My 30th anniversary is coming up next month. And I want to say, my testimony is God is faithful. I've walked with God for 30 years. And God has always been faithful. As I've reflected on the past 30 years, I've seen God act and intervene. I've seen God lead and guide. God has shown himself to be a faithful God. Now, to be honest, there have been times over these 30 years I've not understood what God was doing. I've not liked the things that are happening in my life. Things seem to be difficult. I've not even liked the way God answered my prayers or didn't answer the way I wanted him to. But looking back now, at the time, it was hard. At the time, it was tough. But looking back over those 30 years, I can see God was always in control. I can see that God's timing was always perfect. Not my timing, but God's timing was always perfect. When I finished college, I wanted to get a job. And so I prayed, God, would you lead me what job to do? Would you show me what job to do? God had led me before, specifically, show me this is the thing to do, or that's the thing to do. But God didn't seem to give me any direction. So I prayed, and I prayed some more. And I just thought, God, I've got to do something. I can't just sit and do no job. I want to do a job. And so I just praying and looking and seeking God, I just did what seemed to be a job, any job that kind of came along. But looking back, I can see that God had his hand, that God opened the door, that God made a way, that God's provision was perfect. It's an important lesson to realize sometimes God leads us step by step, showing his faithfulness. Other times we have to pray and just walk forward with him, literally inch by inch, not really knowing where we're going, but trusting in a God who never, never lets us down. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not sure of the next step, if you've prayed and said, God, would you show me the next step? And you hear nothing. If you've prayed and asked God to show you what's the next thing to do, maybe in house where you live, or maybe in your family, or maybe with your job, God, what should I do? And you don't know what God's saying. Keep praying. Keep trusting. God will not let you down. God will not let you down. God will be faithful. Lovely verse you've got there written down on your sheet of paper. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. It says, God is the rock, something strong and permanent that doesn't change. His works are perfect. What God does in your life is perfect. At the time, you might not understand it. At the time, it might not make sense. But God's work is perfect. All his ways are just. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. upright in justice. God is this faithful God. All he does is right. All he does is perfect. My 30 years of walking with God, my testimony is God is faithful. He has never let me down. I have let God down, I'm sorry to say. I've let God down in these 30 years. But thankfully, wonderfully, God has been 100% faithful. God has never let me down. As I grew up as a teenager, I remember foolishly believing that I knew more than my parents. It's a common thing that happens. When they disagree with me, I thought that my viewpoint was the right one, the correct one, and that their thinking wasn't perhaps as clear or insightful as mine. Reminds me of what Mark Twain once said. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learnt in 7 years." See, as we grow older, as I've grown older, I had that same experience of realising that actually I have very little wisdom. I knew very little about life at 17. Now I'm nearly 50. I've got a little bit more wisdom, only a little bit more. And as a growing Christian, in a similar way, we can think that we know the way God should answer our prayers. We can come to God and pray, "God, it would be great if you answered my prayers like this, and then you did this, and you did it by then." Like a teenager thinking that we know best. I can be like that in my relationship with God. But the thing is, we don't see the whole picture. We don't see the timing in our lives. We don't see how God's going to work things out. I've been walking the Christian path for a bit longer now. And you know what? I'm glad that God didn't answer my prayers the way I wanted him to at the time. Sometimes I pray, looking back now, I think, "Oh God," when I was at the time, I was praying, "God, would you do this? Would you do it now?" Actually, looking at how God worked it all out, how God took all the elements of my life, worked it all out in his perfect timing. Actually, thank you, God, you didn't answer me the way I wanted to, but you answered the way that was the best, the way that was the right way, the way that was the way for your purposes. I want to suggest to you this morning that a measure of Christian maturity is learning to trust in the faithfulness of God. Would you this morning take a step forward and say, "God, I want to trust you. I want to trust you in a new way." Maybe for some of us here, we've never trusted God. I want to say this morning that if you trust God, he will never let you down. He will never fail you. He will never reject you. Because the wonderful thing about God is he is the faithful God. And so if you give your life to him, he is committed. If you give your life to him, he is committed to working things out in your life the best way. It may not be the way you want right then, but the best way. The way for his glory, the way that God will work in your life in the very best way. Will you trust in his timing? Will you trust his answers for your prayer? Will you pray and not give up? Because God knows the right answers and the right timing. There was a story of a man walking along a cliff. As he's walking along the cliff, he suddenly slips off the edge. As he slips off the edge, he was about to plunge into the valley below. And he grabs hold of a branch that is sticking out of a shrub just at the edge of the cliff. And he hangs on for dear life. There he is, falling over the cliff, just hanging on to this branch. In a moment, he looks up to heaven. He prays to God. He says, "God, will you help me?" In a flash, he hears a voice. "I will help you, my child. Just let go." He holds onto the branch tighter and tighter. The branch begins to give away ever so slightly. He cries out again, "God, will you help me?" Again, the voice, "I'll help you, my child. Just let go." Again, the struggle. Again, the branch starts to give way slightly. Again, the cry, "God, help me." Again, the voice, "I will help you, my child. Just let go." Finally, in desperation, the man looks up to heaven again and shouts, "Is there anyone else up there?" See, sometimes we don't like God's answer. Sometimes we don't like the way that God's leading us. And we can be tempted to wonder, are there any other options? God is the only faithful one, There is no other option. There is no one else. There is no person. You can't trust anyone in the way that you can trust God. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't trust people, but in the extent and to the way, God is the only faithful one. He's the only one we can 100% trust and give ourselves to. See, Jeremiah, the prophet, experienced some very tough times. Very tough times. If you read through what happened to Jeremiah, he went through some real, real difficult times. But he was able to say in Lamentations 3, you've got it in your piece of paper. He was able to say this through his hardships. He was able to say, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. See, even through all the difficulties, God's love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He had seen, Jeremiah had experienced the faithfulness of God through very, very difficult times. We're going to face fresh challenges. There's going to be fresh difficulties. It's a new term. We're heading back, kids are heading back to school. Things are starting off new. There's going to be fresh challenges. There's going to be fresh opposition, fresh difficulties, individually and as a church. I want to ask this morning, can we remember our Ebenezers? Can we remember where God has been faithful? Can we thank God for the things that he's done in our part, in our lives? Where we can say, thank you, how you've answered. Because it's a foundation. I believe it's a foundation God wants to repair, God wants to refresh, God wants to build in our hearts. Let's be honest. If there's any sense that God has let you down, if there's any sense in your heart that I'm holding back from giving myself to God for fear that he hasn't got my best interests in his mind, then I want to ask today, could you pray? Could you join with me in praying that God, would you come and establish this foundation of faithfulness in my heart? If you look in your heart and it looks a bit crumbly this morning, would you join with me in saying, God, this morning, would you do something in me that helps me to thank you and praise you and appreciate that you have been faithful. You've brought me through all these years. You've brought me through all the things that happened. God, you are a faithful God. Let's pray for a revelation of faithfulness of God. Let's look this week for a new testimony of God's faithfulness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you have demonstrated your faithfulness to each person here again and again and again in our lives. God, you've shown yourself, you've proved yourself to be a faithful God. God, would you help us today to really have a rock solid foundation in our hearts of knowing you're a faithful God, of knowing you're a God who has never let us down, and that faith we can depend on, in that faith that you will never let us down. God, would you build a foundation? Would you build this strong Ebenezer in each of our hearts, Lord? God, would you forgive us if we've doubted you, we've held back from giving ourselves to you? If, Lord, there's a crumbly foundation in my heart, would you forgive me? Would you repair it today? Holy Spirit, would you come and move amongst us? And would you repair in my heart this rock, this solid sense of your faithfulness and goodness to me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. I'm just going to be quiet for a moment and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And he may speak about the faithfulness of God, about what God's done in the past. We may speak about the challenges that you face right now and his assurance of his faithfulness and goodness to you. I don't know, whatever God's going to speak to you, it's a personal thing, individual thing. But I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind now something for you either to thank God for or to commit into his hands. Holy Spirit, I just commit each person here to you this morning and ask that you would come. Holy Spirit, would you speak so powerfully into every person's heart? Just the words we need. Individually, the words we need to hear. I wonder whilst we're We're all before God this morning. I wonder if you'd just turn to the person next to you and just say, how can I pray for you this morning about the faithfulness of God? What can I pray this morning over your life? Is there an issue where you need to see the faithfulness of God? What can I pray for you today? Get yourself in two. Sometimes there might need to be three. Make sure no one's left out. Say, how can I pray for you this morning?